In our restless dreams, we saw that game series, Silent Hill. They promised they'd take us back there someday, but they never did. Until now, that is. Hello, one and all. And me and Connor wish a warm welcome and a return to our little patch of mayhem as we talk today about some massive news. We have the return of Silent Hill franchise, as well as our first impressions on the Resident Evil 4 remake gameplay trailer. Be sure to save your progress and bring healing items with you. The door to safety is shut. This is survival horror. This is Newsreel.
We fucking did it, boys. We fucking did it. Silent Hill is back. The prayers worked. The hours of time that you've listened to me on this show, Zach on this show, complaining and moaning about PT being cancelled. I mean, I'm still going to moan about PT being cancelled. This hasn't changed that, Konami. But you done good. You done good, boys.
Complaining and moaning, that doesn't sound like us at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like I'm never gonna forgive them still for PT, but they have opened what can only be described as a biblical flood of content. Like, it's unbelievable the sheer levels of content, of Silent Hill content that's now rushing through the internet. Like, we've gone a decade pretty much without a game, you know, a proper game. I think Downpour, correct me if I'm wrong, was the last game, wasn't it, that came out?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think it was Homecoming, I think it was Downpour. I can't remember. I was too confused.
Yeah, I think Downpour was after Homecoming. But to be honest, you'll forgive me, I've only played Homecoming, and I was like, no.
Homecoming wasn't great. Downpour, actually, I think Downpour was actually a bit better, but it still wasn't Silent Hill, really, in my mind. And the endings were just a bit weak. Although Downpour does have a really funny secret ending, which I think is really good. You know, like the special stupid endings.
Completely on brand with the rest of the Silent Hill.
Yeah, like all of them have that, right? In the number two as well, the dog ending.
Yeah,
this one's like a, I don't know, do you mind about stupid spoilers?
Not really, no.
It's basically just like a birthday like party. So like, he like comes through a thingy and there's like, that's like a cake, like a big cake in the middle of the room. And like all the other kind of characters from Silent Hill are there. And they're like clapping and kind of celebrating in almost like an Evangelion style fucking weird clap sequence. And then this kind of strange music is playing over top of it. And then fucking like Pyramida comes out of nowhere and just like cuts the cake in half and it like cuts the table in half. It's such a fucking weird ending, but it's actually kind of nice. And in a way, a little bit sad because that was sort of the last Silent Hill game we ever had.
Yeah, it was ended with a birthday party, but it was more like a funeral for the series, like, really, wasn't it? So
poetic that was, man.
Yeah. Hey, I'm here all week.
but everyone, welcome back to another Newsreel episode. We are going to be chatting, of course, today about the amazing news that's come out. Silent Hill is coming back. Capcom has dropped even more fantastic Resident Evil news as well, which is great. And you know us, we've got to talk about Capcom at least once every few weeks, or we're going to lose our non-existent sponsorship deal.
We are legally obliged to mention them at least once every podcast episode.
Has to happen.
Fulfilling our obligations since 2021.
So we were hoping to get this out sooner, but the news dropped at a very bad time because we were both out of the country, weren't we, when it happened?
Yes.
Yeah, we were both enjoying a wonderful holiday when this came out. So we've actually been playing catch up on all the announcements. And damn, it's been pretty big. I think we should probably... Do you want to start with the Resi news, maybe? Because it's a bit less than the Silent Hill news. There's a bit more stuff to talk about.
That's fine. Yeah, I've no issue starting with Resident Evil.
We'll start with Resi.
Yeah, so obviously we've known for a little while that there has been a remake in the works, and things were a little quiet for a while. Obviously, nowhere near the drought of the Silent Hill franchise, but things were a little quiet. We hadn't really heard much about it, and then we've got some more story trailers now. We've got some gameplay as well. There was some PlayStation exclusive gameplay that I watched today, which I was quite impressed with. So I'm hoping to run through that with you guys today.
Solid, really solid.
It really does, yeah. I mean, there are some parts that are absolute frame for frame recaptures of the events from the first or from the original game. But there's also I can already tell that they've decided to flesh out certain areas. So I can only hope that they've done that, because they, Resident Evil 4 itself
as a game anyway is pretty long. If you know, if you're going through every nook and cranny, you know, it does take a considerable amount of time to get through that campaign. So I'm hoping it has the same longevity, because obviously that was our criticism with RE3 remake.
Yes,
that the content was there, but there just wasn't enough of it, right?
So yeah, it was just lacking, wasn't it, compared to the original Resident Evil 3.
That's it. Like quality wise, pretty decent, but quantity was definitely lacking. So, already I have a pretty good feeling from what I've seen that they have taken that feedback on board and they've kind of doubled down on this one. Understandably so, because you know, 4 is one of the. It's definitely one of the top fan get or you know the fan favorites, if not the top one.
I mean, it is the one everyone screams about, right? Isn't it? And also the one that inspired so many other games, didn't it? Like Dead Space, for example, you know?
That's right.
Without RE4, we'd probably be looking at a very different game. Very different games industry, should we say.
Definitely. You know, it's a very, very poignant point of the series because, yeah, you're absolutely right. Everything did change from there. You know, some would say for the better, others for the worst. But, you know, it's regardless, it became something different. And, you know, this is, again, it's another chance for Capcom to kind of bring that into the next generation. As we've kind of identified before, you know, these games, they tend to go in threes. And this very much feels like this is the third game of the set. You've got your 2 remake, your 3 remake, and now you've got your 4 remake. That's kind of like your trifecta there. You can lump those games together and go, yeah, this is from a set, right? Where they go from here, your guess is as good as mine. You know, are they gonna decide to remake 5 next?
I was gonna say, right? You know, are we gonna look at a potential Resident Evil 5 remake? You know, because obviously we talked about this a bit on the podcast before, and I was a bit like, well, it's not that old of a game, but it is actually kind of old, isn't it? Thinking about it now, which is, you know, I guess something about me and my age and me trying to cling on to my youth, perhaps, because I'm like, oh, Resident Evil 5 isn't that old of a game.
Yeah, our minds have kind of been clouded by time, right? Yeah,
not gonna lie.
We still think that we're sort of like, you know, late teens, don't we? I
kind of, yeah. in a way,
things kind of froze there, didn't they, mentally? Yeah. But but the body ages and withers, doesn't it?
The flesh is bruised and spongy.
But yeah, like I think before we jump into the kind of the meat and potatoes of what we've actually seen, I think kind of like my initial thoughts of what I'm really hoping that they nail. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with Wesker, because this will be the first game in this kind of like trilogy of remakes that they're doing here where Wesker was actually featured in the game.
Boy Wesker.
Yeah. He was a playable character in The Mercenaries, and he featured quite heavily in the side campaign when you play as Ada. So I'm very keen to see how they're going to play, who they're going to get to play him, how they're going to portray it, and kind of how they take it forward from there. The Mercenaries does seem to be a feature that they are looking to continue with the other games anyway, like we've seen it in Village and so on and so forth. Yeah. So I've no doubt that they're going to bring that back for the 4 remake anyway.
Yeah, I've seen people, and I want to address this quickly, actually. This is for both Silent Hill and this game as well. I've already seen the naysayers in the comments being like, oh, this isn't, you know, right, this isn't good. Oh, Capcom are going to just fucking cut off the game. Just going to not even do Mercenary mode. And it's like, bro, you don't fucking know these things. How are you complaining about this already? You don't even know these things. And especially to the Silent Hill fans that are saying that, I'm fucking disappointed. We haven't had a new game in a decade, bro. And you're sat there being like, oh, this isn't looking right, man. James's face isn't fucking, and it's like, just shut the fuck up, man. Come on. This is the first fucking Silent Hill game that we've had in ages. Why you got to be like this?
I think sadly the drought has affected people. Not everybody has come out the other side of the drought.
With
all their faculties intact, right?
No,
there's definitely a lot of toxins in the air, and there's a lot of acid getting thrown about.
There's a lot of acid reflux happening here, man.
It happens with every fandom. It doesn't matter whether it's games, films, whatever, right? Yeah. A TV series, they're always going to be that element that you will never make happy. There's always going to be a problem with it, right?
Like I said ages ago when we spoke about, I can't remember what it was, we spoke about remasters and stuff like that, remakes and that.
Yeah,
like the original game will always be there. The original game will always be there. If you want to go back, you want to experience that, right? You want to experience that life. Because the same with Silent Hill 2 and the same with this one as well. The remakes are going to have a very different coat of paint. you know, to the OG ones, aren't they? They're going to feel a bit different in some places.
Of course.
They're just going to be modernized, right? But like I said, it's a good thing because it brings new blood into the light, into the fandom. Yeah. Not everyone has the patience to go back and play those old games nowadays. Some of them don't even play very well nowadays. Like Silent Hill 2, it's quite hard to play a version of that game unless you have a console because the PC port is whack. So like, it's kind of hard to actually play that, you know. Obviously, Capcom have been a lot better Resident Evil 4. It's not hard to play Resident Evil 4 because you can get it on fucking every platform under the sun.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it is for Skyrim. Go on record, say that it is way more than Skyrim. Way more than Skyrim. Resi 4 is the game I think that transcends generations of platforms.
I mean, fuck me, I'm surprised they haven't gone back and ported it to older consoles.
Just honestly, people don't know. Everyone's like, oh yeah, fucking Skyrim is the game that does that. But I've said this before, dude. Resi 4 had a full generation before Skyrim.
Oh yeah,
and it was on all over that generation and every generation since then. It's fucking mad how many platforms you can get this game on, you know. So yeah, so these remakes, they serve such a crucial purpose at bringing new blood into the franchise and also having old players, you know, something interesting to play and explore again.
Yeah, I mean, you've said many, many times, right, that playing these remakes has kind of spurred you on and interested you in going back and playing other games from the franchise, right?
Mm, yeah, 100%, yeah.
You may not have ever really bothered with unless I'd kind of strong-armed you into playing them, right?
Yeah. I had an interest, you know, in the OG Resi games, but I never played, like, the PS1 ones properly. It was only till I started playing the newer games, right, did I play the remakes and go back and be like, oh, this actually is quite interesting, you know, look into it a lot more. So without that, I just wouldn't have gone into it, you know? So I think that the Silent Hill 2 remake, for example, is going to have that same effect on people as well.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, unless it is an absolute frame-for-frame remake, right, and they do everything exactly the same, there are going to be those nuances, those differences that you are going to want to go back and have a look at. I mean, me, myself, right, I will definitely, on the lead-up to the release of the remake, I will play both of those games again.
Oh, really?
Both Resident Evil 4 and Silent Hill 2. I'll go back and I'll replay both of those.
Oh, man.
Because I will want that fresh in my mind, so sure, I can pick out every little detail that they've remembered and also the ones that they've decided not to add.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's very good for you to play Silent Hill 2 again, but I also know how many times you played Resi 4. I know how many completions you have on that game, and it's a lot of completions.
Yeah, especially across all of the consoles that I've owned on as well.
You've played that game in many ways and across many platforms, haven't you? There's not many platforms that you haven't played that game on.
I would say Resident Evil 4 is one of those games that I will play on a yearly. I will play it at least once every year.
Yeah.
And I can't say that about many games. I can't.
And to be fair, like you said, there's a lot of people in the comments, you know, for this video that have exactly the same feelings as you do, man. Massive fans of the series, you know.
Yeah. So I think I've mentioned it quite a few times, and I will sound like a broken record, but it's a comfort game. It is. Mm. It's one of those games that when all else fails, if I'm really, really not in the mood and there aren't any new games I want to play, or if I can't be asked to play what I've got on my Steam library, which let's be honest, right, that happens a lot.
There's a lot of games on there.
I can just go back to that game because, you know it. You know you're going to enjoy it. There's no unknowns there. I know what I'm getting myself in for. Mm. You know, everybody's got to have their Resident Evil 4, haven't they?
Yeah, 100%, man. Everyone's got to have those games that you sit there and you go back to, and, you know, you just know the game off by heart. It doesn't surprise you, but you love to enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
And, oh, man, getting into this actual trailer, the gameplay trailer, the start of it is so good. Like, I feel like the village section, obviously, is really important, isn't it, for Resi 4? Sets the mood of the game quite heavily. And the village section, obviously, is quite, I think, the scary in the original game, but... Like, man, the way they've done the lighting in this one, it looks so more fucking creepy.
Yeah.
It looks so more creepy, doesn't it, with the lighting, the way the shadows are. Like, when Leon's kind of going through, like, the houses, right? Like, the way the glow, you know, the atmospheric glow is. Obviously, we've said this numerous times in the podcast, right? How much we like the RE engine. But, man, the RE engine is putting in some fucking work here, dude. It looks incredible.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
It looks incredible.
It is an instant... It instantly changes the tone of the game. You know, the original 4, as we've kind of mentioned with a lot of games of the time, it's just the palette is very brown. It's just brown for days.
Yeah, right? Capcom obviously lacked the technological prowess back in the day, right, didn't they, to do, I mean, maybe what they really wanted to do, like get that atmosphere through the graphics of the game.
There aren't many games of that time
There's not, no.
you know, that can, I mean, no, there are no games of that time that could capture what they've, what they have now, right? No, and especially their issue with that one especially was because it was in a fully 3D environment. You know, they didn't have the pre-rendered kind of backgrounds and the fixed camera angles to kind of lean in on making things seem, that you know, a little bit more atmospheric. They had to play around with things a lot more, and you know, they again, limitations with the game engine as well, right? So now that they don't have those limitations, you're absolutely right, they can portray the vision that they had for the original game,
and the true vision.
They can you know, it's like its final form, or, you know, in theory, right?
Because as obviously, like, as the trailer kind of goes along, obviously the gameplay goes along, you know, you start to see the bigger open sprawling sections, don't you, of the village, where there's more people. And that's kind of where the game has that action twist, doesn't it? Like, the combat is bigger, isn't it? There's more enemies on the screen.
Yeah, and I think the pacing will be really, really good in this, because from what we've seen already, we've seen stealth mechanics, you know, being able to crouch down by walls and evade enemies. So it, you know, not every scenario is just going to end up with you shooting your way through like it was in the original. Mm. You'll have the option to go, all right, well, maybe a straight up fight isn't the option here. Maybe I should hang back. Maybe I can stealth kill an enemy or two to try and get through an area without wasting all my ammo. You know, it gives you options that you didn't have beforehand.
Mm. And I'll tell you what, mate, the jacket is looking fantastic as well.
Oh, the return of the jacket, if that would have probably been the biggest thing. You know, you could miss out large sections of the game, but if the jacket wasn't, is it? We riot, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're a man that owns a jacket in real life as well, don't you? So you're a man that loves the jacket.
I do, yeah. Like, that jacket is iconic.
It's an awesome jacket.
Like, that's as much about Leon as his hairdo is, right? His floppy hairdo. Like,
it's floppy hair.
Without his jacket, is it really Leon?
Mm, it's very true. That and the cringy humor as well,
which we've definitely seen will be making a return as well. I mean, for the repairs, right?
For the repairs later. Fucking
yeah,
fucking Leon.
It's kind of cringe, but you're also like, yes,
I loved it, dude. I loved the cringiness. Like, I thought that was always a great thing about his character in number two, and it's something that the new film, the Welcome to Raccoon City film, just didn't do right. Because like, that film, it picks Leon's kind of like cringy humorous side, but it like dials it up to 11 and just makes him dumb as fuck. Like, it just makes him stupid.
he's cheesy and a bit cringy, but he's also capable. You know,
From what
I've heard and from what I've seen, he comes across in that film as a bit of a bumbling idiot.
He just they basically dial it too far. Like, he's not like endearing and he's really cringy. Like, but I have to write any paperwork about this. Yeah. And it's like, that's funny, man. But in that film, they make him out to be like an absolute idiot. And it's like, what is this character? Who is this character?
Yeah.
What are the many problems I have with that film?
Yeah. I mean, speaking of character, like, I'm very, very pleased. Like, you can tell it's the same voice actor again, obviously returning, reprising his role as Leon in this one from the Resident Evil 2 remake.
That's really good.
But the way that he is portraying the character, it's a very different feel. You can tell that he's aged. You know, there's a bit more of a gruffness in his voice, which is exactly what we hoped for, right, when we were talking about it. I'm very pleased with that. You know, you can, from just a voice perspective, you can tell that he's much more experienced and he's much more weathered to the world. Another thing that I also did pick up as well, it's kind of the movement behavior as well of the character. You kind of get that, you get the impression that he's had that government training now. You know, his weapon and flashlight discipline, the way he aims his weapon is very different to the way that he did in Resident Evil 2 remake.
I mean, he's not a rookie cop anymore, is he?
No, this is it, right? So, you know, he had just like a kind of a basic run-of-the-mill aim style in that one. In this one now, he's got the handgun held close to his chest. You know, the trigger discipline is there. He's got the flashlight obviously held up there. When he aims in, he's got the hand over the flashlight, which he does do in the 2 remake. But he, you know, it's much more clean. It's much more precise now. You know, you can tell he's had that time. And I liken that very much to Jill in Resident Evil 3. When you see her technique, she kind of brings it, so her hands kind of come together very close to her chest, and then she kind of pushes outwards with both hands on the handgun, and it's a very kind of, they're very, very precise movements that kind of give you that impression of that kind of special forces training that she has. So I like that they've even bothered with the character animations to kind of portray their, not only their personality, but also their their training and kind of their experience, and you get that just 100%. Through the body language, right? Yes, yeah. It's awesome, really good.
It's nice to see as well. There's been a bit of modernization with this game too, like the chainsaw dude, right? So I love the design of a chainsaw guy. I think he's awesome. Yeah,
he's looking really, really cool. Looking yeah, Dr. Salvador. Cool.
Fucking the bag. Ah, the look is so cool with the bag on the head. With the eye, you know what I mean?
That's such cool. Do you know? Vibe. Yeah, like I paused it so I could have a little look at the character in detail, and I think the flesh has been flayed off of the head. Ooh. And I think those eyes, I don't think he's got any lids. So he's got a bag over his head to replace the flesh. Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. Because if you look at the eyes, they're bloody and bloodshot. There's no lids on them at all.
Oh, that's very creepy, isn't it? More like a flayed man walking around.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, so, but it's only on his head.
Ooh, it's unsettling.
Yeah, very, very scary stuff.
Outrageous shit right there, man.
The character design, they've stayed really super, super faithful. But what they've done is they've just cranked that horror dial up to 12. And I'm really, really pleased with the look of it so far.
I mean, I'm also digging the chainsaw parry as well, man, with the
knife.
Oh,
with the knife. Yeah. That was surprising. I was like, all right, he's going to get hit with that chainsaw. We're going to see a decapitation kill here. Yeah. And then he pulled the knife out and parried with it. And I was like, the fuck? They actually, man. Yeah, they caught me sleeping with that one, because I was like, I just wasn't expecting that at all.
Didn't see it coming.
No. The villagers themselves as well, like, we have to discuss this, right? They are looking very good. And it's the one in the basement, you know, the one where his head's kind of on the 90 degree tilt, and he's got like the parasite tendrils coming out of the neck, dude, and stuff like that. Wow, that looks really good.
Because obviously you're going to see like a lot of the parasite side, aren't you, in 4? Because that's like the big bush, isn't it, for like the infected?
That's right, yeah. And
interesting difference.
Because that's the thing, they are sensitive to like ultraviolet. So with that kind of thing, you're going to see, if they keep it faithful to the source material of the original, you're going to see the parasites more in the darkness. So in the basement, you know, on the indoors or at nighttime, because obviously there's going to be a change. The actual events of the game take course over like a day or so. I think it's at least a day.
Yeah.
So you get a day and night cycle in that anyway, in the original, but to see that in the new engine, that's going to be very cool as well, you know, and that kind of potential for maybe even for enemy behavior to change depending on whether they're indoors or outdoors. Maybe they become more hyper aggressive when they're out of the sun. That would be quite cool to see that as a bit of a...
That'd be really cool to see, wouldn't it?
You know, it's almost like you want to keep them outside to keep them docile, or, you know, as docile as homicidal villagers can be.
And you've got just like a really fucking fantastic like degree of sort of environments in Resi 4, don't you, as well? Like, you go from a village to a castle, don't you? There's a castle in there.
Yeah, there's an island
too, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, because so like, that's another thing as well that I'm very, very keen to see what they do with the island, because there's supposed to be like military ganados there on the island, but they're all using like wood chopping axes and, you know, stuff like that, and old like crossbows. You know, and it's like, what army has crossbows these days? Modern army.
Not a standing army, at least.
Yeah, it seems a bit... Seemed a bit odd. So I'm, let's be honest, right? I think there are a lot of people that would agree that it kind of peaks at the village. Some people really enjoy the castle as well, and some people find the castle the bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know many people that think the island is the best part of the game.
I think it's the
finale, you know?
The village is like so iconic, right, as well. Like the start of the game, the world your oyster, you've got so much to do in the game, and that's where you start. And obviously the village is, you know, synonymous, right? It's very inspirational, because obviously the latest Resident Evil, right, uses that quite heavily, don't they, in their game?
The concept
of the village in the middle of nowhere. As we said in our very first episode, it's you know, a direct homage, isn't it, to that scene?
Definitely, yeah. And because you've got this change in environments, it becomes quite jarring in the original, and the pacing is definitely thrown off because of it. The change in enemies, the change in scenery, it does definitely have an effect on the pacing overall of the game. So I think with this remake, they've got a real chance, because they're having another crack at it now, they've got a real chance to kind of thread the needle and just sew up those few pacing issues that they had in the original. You know, and also I just want to clarify as well, the island definitely has good bits, right, with the regenerators and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
And the boss fights are really cool. Like, I love Krauser as a character. I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there are weak spots towards the end of the game, and the middle has pacing issues as well. So, overall, there's a lot of potential there, you know?
Mate, 100%. I think this is gonna literally set up such a fantastic push, and hopefully, it's gonna stand up to, you know, the same heights as the Resi 2 remake did, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're like gonna see a true return to form. Yeah,
it will go one of two ways, and it will go the RE2 remake way, where everybody is like, "Wow, they fucking nailed it," or it will go the other way. And 100%. I don't really want to think about the other way. To be honest, because
not for Resi 4 anyway.
No. I think the ramifications of that would be catastrophic.
It would be sad. It would 100% be sad. We may see the return to the dark age of Capcom, which I don't want. Yeah, I want to see the revival period continue, the renaissance.
They, quite frankly, they cannot afford to fuck this up.
No.
Put it as bluntly as I possibly can, they can't afford to fuck
it up. But that's why I think they realize, right, the appeal that 4 has and the reason why 4 is so universally loved, right? They can't half-ass 4.
No.
But alongside 4, we'll round off the little Resi bit, there's also a little trailer for the Village Gold Edition as well, which is kind of cool.
That's right, yeah.
And that obviously includes the fantastic revelation that you can play the entire Resi 8 campaign in third person, which I think is super interesting, and I actually really want to try that out because I want to see how that makes the game feel. Because I really liked Village's campaign, obviously. Our very first episode on the podcast was about Village. I had got a lot of fun with that game. And a lot of that game, it works very well in first person. The scares, for example, like I've said this before, but the Benevito house, obviously, that whole section is, I think, imperative to be in first person to make that as scary as possible. So I'm very curious. I just want to see how that's going to be done in third person, because I just don't think it will have the same appeal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Like, and we've always said that, you know, first person games, they do predominantly have the more immersive feel to them. That being said, you can still get great scares out of a third person game. You know, the zombies in Resident Evil 2 remake are genuinely terrifying.
Oh yeah, they are creepy as fuck. Yeah, 100%.
And we've mentioned Dead Space today as well, right? You know, the scares that you get in that game, you know, for a third person game are really good. So it's possible. It's just whether they can, you know, a game that was intended to be played in first person, now that they've tweaked it for third person, whether it will have the same effect. And I'm totally with you with that.
Yeah.
I think that fundamentally it will feel like a different experience. It'll be like playing a different game, right?
Honestly, yeah. That's why I think I'm so curious about it, because obviously this is not just the only thing you're getting with this, but you're also getting the Winter's Expansion, which is a DLC where you play as Rose, Ethan's daughter, who's obviously a lot older now and not a baby anymore. And also not in pieces anymore either. And I don't know, I'm still on the fence about this DLC, really, because I didn't like the kind of weird revelation at the end of 8. I didn't really like that turn, where she's like, oh, look at Rose. She's like some fucking government agent now, apparently. Right?
And she has powers. And
she has powers, yeah.
We're treading a bit of a fine line here for a bit of a Mary Sue kind of Alice.
I was
Resident
about
Evil
to say,
film kind of.
I feel like Alice is finally getting a character in the actual game, basically. Because that is sort of Alice, right, wasn't it, in the films, what Alice was. A bit of a supernatural, well, I say supernatural, obviously it's fucking zombies and shit, right, bioweapons, but, you know, more supernatural than that, right? Someone who has sort of magical powers per se, and like the trailer for the DLC looks interesting. It's also going to be in third person, weirdly enough, not first person.
I've never really particularly been an advocate for Village or any of its content. What I will say is that what I do think with this Rose character, and I think I will defend her in this sense against the Alice thing, is that I think with the films and obviously with Mila Djokovic's character, the powers didn't really make any difference. There was no, like, even when she lost her powers at one point, there was no real consequence to that. She was still a super badass, kick-ass character.
Yeah, like, she was like a fucking, you know.
Whereas Rose, it appears to, it's almost like with the whole expansion, it's kind of her exploring and trying to conquer her powers. Her powers are the source of her torment in this bit, right? So it's like, her, it's kind of her coming to terms with that and, you know, trying to overcome that and not letting her power consume her, which is very different to the Alice character, where she's just got all the gifts and she's flawless and she can do whatever she wants, even when she doesn't have her powers, right?
Yeah.
They are fundamentally very different characters. But on the surface level, it's kind of very easy to go, oh, shit, this is an Alice character, right? But I do think once you've played it, because obviously you'll play it, I guarantee you'll play it before I do. Mm. You'll have to let me know how it goes. I'm curious to see, because I do think that they're trying to go in a different, and obviously this is all going to lead into the next one of that trilogy, right? Like we said, it goes in trilogies. We've had Seven, we've had Village. There is one more game in that trilogy to go.
Yeah, whatever Resi 9 is.
Yeah, and guaranteed Rose Winters is going to be a part of that to take Ethan's place in the...
Potential, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously... Ethan
as well as Chris. Is... Chris will be there again, right? Because you were left on that cliffhanger with the whole BSAA using bioweapons at the end of the at the end of his story in Village, right?
Yeah.
So that's definitely what they're going to go for. They have to pursue that. They can't leave that as a loose end, because that's going to frustrate the fuck out of everybody.
100%, man. And actually, the Gold Edition, it actually launches tomorrow. I wasn't aware. It's literally out tomorrow.
A recording.
Yeah, so whenever this episode goes up, it's going to be out. So, it's coming live in 2 hours.
Oh, wow, there you go.
Fucking so, who knows? Maybe I'll fucking give it a little look.
Yeah, and you'll have to let us know how it goes. But
but I don't know about the DLC yet. I would like to experience the story in third person. I'm still on the fence about maybe getting the DLC. The DLC is priced at $15.99. It's a reasonable price, but that does indicate a bit of girth and a bit of heft to it, right? Like a bit of content behind them.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but you're also getting some extra content for the mercenaries as well.
Like yes, there is there is the mercenaries as well. So you get the
we covered that in one of our other episodes, didn't we? Yeah,
you get Lady D, you get Pez Lady D. So like, I think that in itself is worth its weight in gold.
Definitely.
Being able to play as our vampire mummy, that's fantastic.
The modders are going to have a field day with that one.
Literally, yeah. And also, I'm pretty sure Heisenberg is a character as well. You can play mercenaries.
Yeah. So,
I like that.
Overall, not a bad little haul of content. And to be honest, right, you know how frequent sales go on Steam and stuff like that. You'll be able to pick that up for a tenner soon.
Literally, you can buy Village now, actually. Village is on sale at the moment. And this doesn't end until the 1st of November, because it's in the Halloween sale, Steam Halloween sale.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So the episode would definitely be up by that point. And you can buy Village on its own for like £24 at the moment, which isn't that bad.
Oh, decent.
Especially because that is a fairly... it's a fairly substantial game. Village is a decent length game, actually.
Fairly new as well.
Yeah, so. I didn't blaze through it. I actually had a lot of time with Village, and it was enjoyable. You can go back to our very first episode if you can stomach through almost 2 hours of us rambling.
If they stuck with us for this long, I'm sure they can manage another 2 hours.
It's a long episode. We were very new. Please forgive us.
Yeah. I like, maybe one day we'll go back and we'll revisit. We can review. Yeah, we can do a gold edition review, and we can review it through wiser and more wrinkly eyes.
Oh yeah, well, very considerably more wrinkly eyes, right?
Yeah, definitely. We've got our time in now.
That is the new Resident Evil news. I'm excited. I'm actually surprised the gold edition is coming out so soon. That's kind of exciting. Might give a little check out. And obviously Resi 4 is coming out next year, I believe, is a date for that, isn't there?
That's right, yeah.
Which is fucking fantastic. But moving on to the second horror franchise of the day. And damn, Konami, you don't fucking played us, boys.
This is, it's big news, man. This is big news. Unbelievable. Like, I feel like... I feel like I spent a lot of time just kind of like managing my expectations, just going, look, man, it's either never going to happen or it'll happen when they're ready. Right.
Yeah.
I know you were like, you were desperate. You were clamoring for this to happen.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to something, anything, man. I was down bad. Like I was down bad, man. I got such mad love for Silent Hill series, and such mad love for PT as well. Right. And everything that game did for the franchise and everything Silent Hill stood for, especially when compared to Resident Evil, because it's quite funny that they are both sort of mirror opposites of each other, aren't they? Really? You know, both Japanese horror franchises, but they both cater for a very different breed of horror.
Very different, yeah. You know, Resident Evil with its more scientifically based horror, and you know, Silent Hill then with its very kind of like paranormal, psychological horror.
Very, very psychological, right? And that's fantastic to see, really. And we've not just got one, two, or three. We've got five new things to talk about here from Silent Hill. Five new things that Konami have brought to our attention.
Konami needs some pacing lessons as well, you know, to drought us for that long and then all of a sudden just to drop it all. We're drowning now, aren't we? We're drowning in stuff to talk about.
Yeah. To go from literally nothing to five new things to talk about to do with Silent Hill, yeah. It's a little bit rude.
They've opened the Bombay doors on us, haven't they, for sure? Like,
yeah, just straight up opened the fucking gates. The gates of Babylon.
I will say straight off the bat, though, I'm surprised. I'm sort of surprised that they went for Silent Hill 2 first. Mm. Now, there's a part of me that isn't surprised because it's obviously the fan favorite, right? It's the one that everybody talks about, and it's the GOAT of the Silent Hill franchise. Mm-hmm. But I am kind of, there's a little bit of me that's surprised that they didn't remake the first one first.
Mm. Yeah,
you know. It's the older game, the one that needs it more. You know, you have to think that was PlayStation 1.
No,
era.
It literally is, yeah. Like, being able to play 1 now is, like, pretty hard, I guess, emulation, obviously. You can emulate it. Once again, not, you know, don't endorse, just say you can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can forgive, obviously, Capcom not for doing the first one again because, you know, the GameCube version of that was already really good and they did a HD remaster and stuff. Like, you know, that's fine. You know, they didn't need to modernize the first one any more than they already had, in my opinion. Mm. But for Silent Hill, I feel like, you know, start from the beginning, surely. It's not a particularly flowing narrative. Like, you can play every game as an individual experience and there's no real cohesion other than the fact that...
Yeah, with a numerical number, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they are all kind of intended to be played as independent experiences, aren't they?
Yeah. Like so I guess in a way, right, that's also the counter argument, isn't it? That they are just independent experiences. So them not doing one doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Although it would be nice. It would be really nice to see a one remake. Because that would obviously be the biggest glow up you could see, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
Whereas obviously two comes from an old era, two comes from the PS2 era, which obviously was, you know, not exactly the most visually pleasing era, but still a bit more modern than the PS1, right?
However, you know, you go back and you look at those, the FMVs, right? The actual pre-rendered cutscenes in that game. They are fucking stunning.
They're fantastic, they're fantastic.
I cannot fault them for their the graphic content that you get, like, the graphic quality that you get from those pre-rendered cutscenes. Second to none, mate.
I mean, that was a sign of the PS1, like, just so many PS1 games had fantastic FMV cutscenes, right? And I think that helped to, and I also think what that did was that kind of warps our perspective about the games a little bit, doesn't it? Because when we remember it, obviously, we think of that, and then I think subconsciously we're like, oh, the gameplay looked like that as well. It really fucking didn't. But it felt like it did because of the way the cutscenes worked, because one of my favorite games of all time for the PS1, the first Oddworld game, Abe's Odyssey, that was another game that made fantastic use of FMV videos to forward the storyline. And, like, the gameplay looked nothing like that, but the videos and the hand-painted backgrounds added so much to that game. Filled me with such nostalgia, you know, remembering it and thinking about it. And it just helped make the game feel more complete. And Silent Hill did exactly that on the PS1 as well.
You know, and I think what's also most impressive about Silent Hill, especially the first one, right, is that you know, they never relied on those pre-rendered backgrounds like Resident Evil did. That was all 3D from the very beginning, and they cleverly used that fog, didn't they, to kind of like to render things as you went along.
Yeah, the draw distance was just dog shit.
Very, very, very clever game design there, right? And you know, jump forward to now, it's not something that they'll need to do now.
No.
Because they've got the horsepower to be able to do it. But,
yeah.
You know, you think of how far the series will have come when this game, when Silent Hill 2 Remake is released. You know, that's going to be
insane. It's mad to see, to be honest. It's actually quite insane to... It's insane to think of having this conversation, to be honest, you know.
It's a dream, isn't it?
It's just nice to see that Konami hasn't just completely abandoned us, you know, for so long. What I mean, it did for so long. But... it's nice to see an actual return to form here, you know. And I mean, I think they've done the smart decision here because none of these games we're talking about today from Silent Hill, they have actually made themselves. They are all just games that other studios have made, but I think Konami has made good decisions on how they've licensed it.
Yeah.
So starting with Silent Hill 2, obviously, this is being made by a Blooper Team, or I can't pronounce it. Blooper Team. who are obviously a game studio you might know, who have made the Layers of Fear series, if you've ever seen those games. They also made The Medium, which was a bit of a weird series, Observer, and also the new Blair Witch game as well, they were responsible for.
Yeah, so I mean, already we've got a pretty decent pedigree in horror games there, right?
Yeah,
so
this studio has done fantastic work with horror games. You know, they are not a, you know, this isn't their first rodeo, right? Layers of Fear is a fantastic horror game. Played a bit the first one. Never played the second one, but I really want to go and play it. And I think they're also doing a third one as well. So this is a fairly big studio because they are, you know, they're doing more projects at once, right? So they're not going to half-ass this at all. I think they're making a really good push with it. And
yeah,
from what we saw in the trailer, it looked fucking amazing, dude. The Silent Hill 2 visuals look stunning. Some people online are memeing that James looks a bit weird, but I think he looks fine, to be honest.
I mean, he's got stubble, you know, like... You didn't have stubble in the original, so
no.
So fuck you.
Stubble. Stubble wins.
That's my takeaway for the day, that is. Yeah, stubble wins every time. But, you know, also, I think, you know, it's are absolutely right. It is breathtaking just how good it looks.
It looks fantastic, doesn't it? Like the atmosphere in the trailer, just it captures that Silent Hill vibe for the second one. Because I'm going to keep this spoiler free as possible, because I really want people who maybe never played it for them to experience it through this. Because
definitely.
Like I fucking wish if I could just fucking Men in Black mind wipe myself, yeah, of a game, I would do it for Silent Hill 2. So I could go in and experience it without remembering anything about the game, about the storyline.
There are plenty of games I would do that for and not replay. But Silent Hill 2, I would mind wipe just so I could play it again and forget about it. Yeah, I totally agree. Because that is just... the once you know the ending, obviously, it's...
It is a little bit...
completely changes your perspective of the game, doesn't it?
It does. It does quite a lot. But I think that's also something that is very synonymous with every Silent Hill game.
Yes.
I think that every Silent Hill game has that kind of that little twisty twist. I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a little twist, right?
Yeah.
In a lot of the games that make you kind of change your opinion on things.
Yeah, because every game is a mystery, isn't it? You know, you start without all of the facts, and by the end, you have the complete picture.
Exactly. You can form an opinion, and it makes, I think, replaying the game very interesting as well, doesn't it? Because there is obviously, you know, a lot of different endings to Silent Hill 2 as well, so. You can, and including the joke ending, obviously, as we kind of touched on earlier, each one has a funny joke ending, which I really hope they still keep, because that is really, you know, cute to have the joke endings in.
It is, definitely,
But I think that, obviously, this was rumoured that Blooper Team were actually doing it, and, you know, obviously they are, which is great to see. The rumours were real. But no, I think Konami picked a very solid company to do this, because, damn, the atmosphere in the trailer is just striking.
Yeah, I don't know whether you noticed it as well, but I thought it was a nice little touch that the trailer started following a roach on the floor. I thought that was a very good little nod back to the PT demo, because obviously when you wake up in the PT demo, you've got roaches in front of you on the cold grey floor, right?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a little bit cheeky actually, because it's sort of in a bathroom as well, like PT is. So like from that first second clip, if this wasn't obviously for it being an official Silent Hill show, like if that first trailer was just shown at like a game event or something like that, people would have lost their shit and thought it was like PT or some shit.
Definitely. Yeah. Like you can definitely tell where they've gone. I tell you what, we'll put this in here.
It's a cheeky little nod for sure.
We'll get a cheeky little pop out of that. That'd be great.
It just starts off so, you know, grim and kind of, it sets the tone perfectly. Right. And obviously you walk in, and as the trailer goes on further, you see James walking in and you hear, you know, the famous words, right? That, you know, in my restless dreams, I see that town. And it's like, ooh, man.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. And
it's fucking atmospheric as fuck, dude.
And, you know, now, obviously, as mentioned it there, people might start to understand my intro for the episode, because I imagine a lot of people are like, what the fuck is he talking about? it's a letter that James has from his wife, Mary.
Yeah.
That's kind of like where you kind of start in the game, isn't it? Right. Yeah. You just kind of,
You have this character, and you're searching for your wife, right? Your lover. Right. You're searching for her in this town, and it just kind of goes from there, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So the whole mystery is like trying to find the wife. You know, figuring out why is she here? Why are you here? You know, it's great. Yeah, and again, we won't spoil it.
No, I really don't want to, because its storyline is it's special. I think it's special. I think there's not many horror games out there that I can say that, you know, it is probably best horror game I've ever played. It's just, yeah, it just hits, I think, every note for my love of horror personally. Anyway, I think it just hits every note just right.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be very, very hard pressed to find a kind of kind of combination that it just
hits so right.
It all into one place. Yeah.
It could quite easily not, but it just fucking does. It just fucking works.
One hell of a recipe. Yeah.
One hell of a recipe.
The only other thing then I would probably say off the back of that as well, another little nod, to those that know, there's a little score of piano music playing in the background as well. And that song is actually from the original Silent Hill 2 OST as well. It's a song called Magdalene, which is quite poignant, because that is that's a score that plays later in the game as well. So again, those that know.
Yeah.
But I thought it was very cool, and it was very very interesting that they decided to choose that particular piece of music for the trailer. I thought that was very very good, very 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 cool little nod then to the
very, very
players
poignant,
that played the original. Yes.
Like, yeah, the soundtrack as well, like, just adding on to that, like, not only is the game fantastic, but the soundtrack, the original soundtrack to Silent Hill 2 is so fucking good. There's so many tunes on that soundtrack which just slap, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not a happy soundtrack particularly. Every song is quite melancholy, you know. Like,
yeah,
it makes you a little bit sad, but you can't put your finger on why you're sad. You just feel a bit sad after listening to it. But
it is, isn't it? Yeah,
there is something strangely comforting about it.
Yeah, yeah. The whole soundtrack is a mixture of fear and dread and melancholy, kind of sadness.
Yeah. It's sadness, but with no direct cause of being sad.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit of an experience, actually. I think like even if you've never played the game, if you've never even touched Silent Hill, because the whole soundtrack is on Spotify,
it is, yeah.
Go and listen to it. Like, it's pretty good. Like,
it's an experience just listening to it, to be honest.
Yeah, just shut your eyes and listen to it. Like, it's another thing, isn't it? Yeah.
you see yourself in another dimension. Hopefully not Silent Hill. You don't want to end up there. That's a fucking...
No, please.
Do not end up in Silent Hill. That's a bad place to go to.
We will not respect it, or we won't accept any responsibility for anybody that shuts their eyes and ends up in Silent Hill. All right?
Any just existential crisis that's developed from playing Silent Hill.
Yeah, that's not on us. All right, I'd bring that up with Konami. I'd say.
So this is only the first part, right, isn't it, of this bomb? This a huge collection of announcements.
Yes, yeah. One final thing about Silent Hill 2 as well, just for those who want to know what platforms that it's released on as well. It's releasing on PlayStation 5 and on PC on Steam. So it's already available on Steam to wishlist now.
Oh, yes.
So if you haven't done so already and you are interested in the game, just go on to Steam and wishlist it, and then they'll let you know when it releases and what the price will be and all that good stuff.
It's very true, actually, yeah, because we don't sadly have a release date for it yet. It is just a coming soon, sadly, on Steam. Resi 4 actually does have a release date on there, but no, Silent Hill 2 is sadly just coming soon. Interesting platform choice as well, I will say, just going back on that for a second. PS5 and Steam is a bit I'm happy. I'm very happy to see it's on Steam, because I was worried.
So am I, because there's no fucking way I'm buying a PS5.
No, that's the problem, right, man, because that would have probably twisted my arm, and I would have hated for that to have been the thing that did it. So Capcom, thank you. Thank you for choosing not only PC, but thank you for choosing Steam, because
everyone who has
a Steam Deck can also potentially enjoy this wonderful game as well.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be my choice.
Big fucking move with that one.
Yeah. But so totally excluding Xbox.
Yes, no Xbox potential there either, which is weird, because obviously Downpour and Homecoming were on Xbox as well.
They were, yeah. Yeah.
A bit of an interesting switcheroo there. But looking away from 2, even though I don't want to because I love 2, the next biggest announcement, I think, at the time was a very strange one that I don't think many people saw coming, not directly anyway, and this is called Silent Hill F.
Yeah, this one was weird, wasn't it?
It's a very, very trippy trailer, but I mean, you watch the trailer, and I think it does bleed Silent Hill. It bleeds the vibes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the kind of the concept of it was very surreal. There's not really a lot of actual kind of tangible content that we can walk away from here, is there, to explain to people anyway? I feel like watching it is probably going to be the best avenue for you there, and then you kind of make your own mind up.
Yeah, like it's very hard for us to describe what it is. Like, I've just got it on now on the side as we're talking, and like, it's very fucking strange. So the game itself is a completely new story. Konami have said completely new, and it's set in 1960s Japan. And they say features a beautiful yet horrifying world.
Yeah, there's a bit of a fixation on like sea life and like coral and
yeah, there's like lamprey type things and like coral and rivers and rafts, sea urchins and all that kind of stuff, really strange, and some big old instances of what is that thing called? Is it tyrophobia? Is that what it's called? The whole the whole thing, you know, like holes. It's like a phobia. I can't remember the actual name of the phobia.
Oh yeah,
but it's like holes in things. Like it's got a word, yeah. It's got a name. I think it's tyrophobia or tyrophobia or something like that. But there's a lot of that in the trailer. So if you don't like that, I would advise maybe looking away for that part.
Yeah, this woman kind of like morphs into. Mm. Like a cluster of coral.
It's like coming out of her like, face and shit.
Her face kind of like peels away, doesn't it? And then it's just like a, it's fucking weird.
It's man. like a lamprey type kind of monster. Like it's the face just kind of slides off. And ultimately, yeah, like we said, there's not really a lot to talk about. It's because story wise, we've got no idea what's going on here. Visuals wise, though, fucking looks phenomenal. This could potentially be for stuff that was leaked a while ago. Remember we spoke about the leaked stuff, didn't we? And obviously the leaked stuff said, oh, it was going to be Silent Hill in England. But there is a creature in one of the leaked screenshots which looks kind of like the coral head woman here. So perhaps this was actually what the leaked stuff was back when it leaked originally.
Yeah, and maybe the English slang that was in it was just a bit of a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, or it could potentially link to another one we're going to talk about briefly after this. What is quite interesting about this, though, is a Japanese writer called Rikishi 07, that's his pen name, is actually doing the storyline, the story for this game. And he's quite famous for doing a lot of mangas in Japan and visual novels in Japan. And a lot of his style is all about mysteries and supernatural and psychological horror. Hmm. So he's a man who knows his stuff.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And it'd be really interesting to see, I guess, what avenue he comes at Silent Hill for. Because obviously, once again, like, don't want to spoil too much about Silent Hill as what the concept of Silent Hill is. But in its essence, it doesn't have to necessarily be around the town, does it? Because I've already seen people going on about, like, oh, the town. The town's not there, though. And it's like, well, technically, town doesn't have to be there, does it? It's like, the town is more of a... what's the word I'm looking for here? It's more of a...
It's like a physical manifestation of that plane of existence, right?
That area. Obviously, like, I think Silent Hill 4 kind of is quite a good example of not needing the town, isn't it?
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's a large portion of the game where, you know, you're kind of... It's based in and around the room, right?
Yeah, the hotel room, yeah.
The subtitle is called The Room.
You know what? It actually blew my fucking mind looking back on The Room and realizing how much Kojima looked at Silent Hill 4 for PT inspiration.
Yes.
Like a lot of people think that a lot of people gave Silent Hill 4 shit when it came out. It was, and I think undeserved because it was the last game made by the original team Silent. Yeah. And I think that there's actually a lot in that made its way into PT that people don't realize.
Yeah.
Like the backtracking.
I'm wondering whether it was more of an execution thing than an actual content thing.
Potentially, because I do also agree the main character of The Room is fucking wooden as fuck. Yeah. And he's not particularly likable character. In comparison to the other Silent Hill characters, I guess. He's particularly wooden. A lot of stuff that made PT really enjoyable is present in 4 in some way or another. Yeah. The repetition, the repeating sequences, all that comes from 4 as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I find those kind of repeating sequences. I find it kind of brings more of a sense of frustration out than an actual.
I suppose it depends how often it's done because it's designed to kind of to trip you up, right, and confuse you, and to kind of make you a little bit like, whoa, you know, what's going on here, right? We're in a loop, something like that, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's sort of also like going back and seeing like what's changed now, you know what I mean? Like what's different now? Like just spotting something that's slightly out of place.
It is also one of those things as well. Like we have mentioned in previous episodes as well. It's because so many indie developers took inspiration from PT. Konami are kind of they're going to have to kind of change it up a little bit, because that kind of recipe has been overused now within the horror genre. So they've almost got to try and reinvent and recreate what Silent Hill is, in order for it to hit, you know, and to strike a chord with the audience. Otherwise, they're just going to go, yeah, I've seen this 100 times before. It might look a little bit more polished, but it's the same. You're playing the same tricks on me.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's just interesting because there's so much unknown about this Silent Hill F. Like, there's literally not a lot about it at all. The trailer's interesting, but apart from that, there's nothing. There's no platforms. To be honest, I might even have to retract what I said at the start, because Konami could actually be making this themselves, because I can't see any other studio's name on this product.
Yeah.
Like anywhere. I'm looking now and I can't see any other name apart from Konami. So maybe I was wrong. Maybe Konami are actually doing one, but they're just doing F. I'm genuinely not too sure. So that's up for debate currently. But yeah, there's not a lot about this one at all, other than I think it looks really interesting and it could be a bold step, because it's quite funny, isn't it? That obviously Silent Hill, right, is a Japanese horror franchise, but none of it has ever been set in Japan. You know, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always a first, isn't it?
Yeah. This is actually a first. So it's interesting to see that they're now taking it to their own culture, right?
Their own backyard.
Yeah. Their own backyard.
Very interesting.
Whereas obviously the original Silent Hills, it's not Japanese in the slightest. Japanese horror, yes, but it's not set in Japan.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Silent Hill F. Like, I really can't say more about it because it's just so unknown. So those are the two, I think, biggest announcements from the Silent Hill selection. The next ones, I think, are a little bit outliers, but I'm kind of interested in a few of them. So we're going to get out of the way first and just say this one, because it's a bit strange. There's a new film coming out, an actual motion picture film called Return to Silent Hill. Now, I don't know about you, Zach, but I actually liked your first Silent Hill film.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. So I think it's one of those few and rare gems where a game has translated pretty well to a film.
Yeah, I actually think it's decent, the first one.
Yeah, it's kind of you can tell that where they've taken, because it adheres closest to the first game story wise.
Yeah, it is very, very similar to the first game in terms of plot.
Yeah, but they have mixed it up in the sense that Harry Mason isn't the main character. So he is played by Sean Bean in the film.
He's got Sean Bean in it.
Sean Bean, exactly, yeah. But like, he's not the main character. They kind of sidelined him, and then like his wife, I can't remember her name. Is it? I'm trying to think of her bloody name now. She's the main character, right, in that one. So they took kind of inspiration from the first one, and then they've mixed it up a little bit. They threw the pyramid heads in there as well, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And again, you know, people can go, oh, you know, that's specific to James. Mm. It made a pretty good film. I can forgive it for that, you know. Like,
yeah, no, I do agree. I do kind of agree. The pyramid head stuff is a little bit weak because it is kind of, there's a big part in, you know, number two, obviously, no spoilers again, to do a pyramid head that when you play it, you understand. So I do understand where the frustration comes from, because it is a little bit like, oh, just because he's a really good looking character, right? You know, we've got to throw him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's one of the most iconic enemies from that series. So for them to have not included that in the film, I think that a lot of people would have gone in and been confused when it wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah. Because obviously, like, these, you know, some of these people, right, have going into this maybe only ever playing number two, not even playing number one or anything like that, right?
Yeah, it would be a little bit, I don't know, like, it would be like having an alien film and then not having a xenomorph.
Or potentially even going into that, not playing any of the games, right?
Maybe that's a bad analogy, because I mean, you know, kind of like, yeah.
Maybe alien, not. Alien, right, alien.
I'll probably retract that one, because Silent Hill is more than just one enemy, right?
But I get what I mean. It's iconic, right? It's an iconic character.
Correct.
And it's a very striking character as well. So if someone had never played Silent Hill before, any of the games or anything like that, right, it's a very...
You might still know what the Pyramid Head is, or you may have seen it through like pop culture references and stuff, right?
It's synonymous though, right? Because it's like, look at this creepy figure with a massive pyramid on his head.
Yeah.
What's that about, man? It's a bit weird, isn't it?
I'd say the only other enemy that really jumps out to me that is one that I think other people may recognize is probably the nurse, the faceless nurses. They're probably the only other ones in the Silent Hill franchise that I would say like people would get that even if they haven't if they hadn't played the game, you might still know what the Silent Hill nurse is.
Yeah, like, I think the nurse is also just because of, I think, of Halloween as well, right? Because obviously those people dress up as the nurses every Halloween as well, right? You see pictures of the place. They're very synonymous characters. Like you may even know the character without even knowing what Silent Hill is.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so that was the first film. There was a second film called Revelation, which I think is kind of shit.
It was awful.
It takes a big old steamy shit on the first one, which is pretty sad, really. Like I said, because the first one was actually kind of good. It's just fucking shit. It's very like 3D heavy. Like it was part of that time, wasn't it?
It just goes nowhere.
It was part of that time where films had where 3D was the big thing, wasn't it? And 3D was used in everything. And every film was fucking 3D. You know what I mean? Like, how many films nowadays are still 3D? Not many, is there? It was like a boom, wasn't it?
It's a gimmick,
man. It was a gimmick, yeah.
They've moved on to, like, mirror, like what is it, 4K?
Yeah, IMAX, and all that kind of stuff.
IMAX, yeah. 4D now with the seats move. And
that kind of stuff.
Man, I just want to watch a film, you know?
Yeah, literally, right? I do want to watch a film. but that's what I mean. So this one, a lot of it relies on those kind of fucking stuff, you know?
It's like cheap gags, isn't it? Yeah.
Like, so, look at the pyramid head sword. It's coming out the fucking screen. That's going to cut you. It's not the one. So that happened.
I'm the Silent Hill slasher.
The Silent Hill slasher. The pyramid head slasher. So that happened in 2012, and then nothing happened since then. But lo and behold, we now have a new film coming out called Return to Silent Hill. And there is actually quite a big story kind of about getting this kind of back. Like getting the rights back and making a film. And there's actually an interesting trailer they dropped for the event, which I recommend watching, where they talk about like some of the people that have been writing the screenwriter, the directors and stuff like that. And it is quite interesting listening to the story of trying to get it off the ground. And this film, I think, is basically going to be the second game, but as a film.
Yeah.
But more, or at least it's going to be very heavily influenced by the second game. So whereas Revelations was this weird kind of bastardization of Silent Hill, and the first one was sort of like Silent Hill 1, I think this is going to be more akin to the first one, and it's going to be sort of like Silent Hill 2.
Mm.
I think.
I think it's a bold move to have something as similar as the second game when they're already bringing out the remake as a game.
I think it's to back that up, really, because you know, watching the trailer, the dudes on there, they do seem very like, you know, on it. Like they seem like very respectful of the IP and
it would be
of
cool,
the story as well.
Yeah. Like, you know how with a lot of the other media that was released in and around Dead Space, where you had like the comic strips and the animated comic strips and the animes, and they were all based in and around the story of the game.
Yeah.
I think the clever thing to do there is to tie that film in with the game that they're releasing, and then have that kind of link in. So it's almost like Silent Hill 2 behind the scenes. Like you get to see more of the characters that are involved in the story that you might not get to see from the actual game itself.
Yeah, 100%. I think that would be a good position to do it on, yeah. That could be a good move.
Like, you know, even if they did like, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here, but like maybe a series where you kind of learn more about Silent Hill, more about the characters, you know, because there are other characters in Silent Hill 2. It's not just James.
Yeah, it's not just James at all. No,
you know, you've got like Eddie as well. You know, the guy with the baseball cap. Yeah, and there's the little girl as well. Laura, her name is. So there's all these characters that are kind of there and they're involved and they're all kind of closely linked to the main character. But you only kind of pick up snippets and bits and pieces as you go along. It would be nice to explore those a little bit more.
I think it'd be really good, actually. And I think, obviously, that's something that I think they need to look at. That Capcom did quite well, didn't they? Resi 2. They gave characters that were sort of sidelined, weren't they? A little bit more story.
Yeah. And, you know, and even if it's only like a couple of minutes of screen time, you know, you can tell a lot of story in a couple of minutes.
But they did that, didn't they, quite well in the Resi games remix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Marvin became a really, really good character in that remake.
Whereas in the original, a bit flat, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like he's just a shit character in the original.
But he doesn't really offer much sustenance.
No. Like you get to see kind of Marvin's heroic and loyal side a little bit more. You get to, you know, he's more of a character rather than just a throwaway kind of like, he's a temporary ally that's going to become an enemy, right? Because he turns into a zombie. It gave the character more substance. And if they can do that, you know, because characters, they've got to be three-dimensional for you to care about.
100%, right? Man, yeah.
So having the opportunity to kind of explore that, you know, explore the characters a little bit more, it's just going to, the more time we get with them, the more we're going to care about them at the end of the day.
Yeah. And especially because, like, just, I guess the way Silent Hill works as well, like the way its characters are kind of presented throughout all the games too. It's always very morally ambiguous, isn't it? Should we say? Like,
yes,
how you find yourself kind of dealing with these characters without giving too much away, or how you as a character player kind of approach those characters. Because you obviously said, didn't you, about kind of the way the story kind of twists and turns and whatnot. And obviously when you kind of come back and you play the game again, you sometimes come at it from a very different perspective, don't you? Because you understand very different things about the characters.
Definitely, yeah.
Like, obviously like with a film, you can't really do that, can you? Because the film has a set narrative.
That's right, yeah. But it's almost like there are lessons to be learned from all the interactions, and it's like it's a very interesting experience that obviously lots of games have tried to recreate, but somehow they just didn't get the memo, right? No,
definitely not. So we've got those two games, we've got a film coming out. Interesting move, but whatever, Konami, we'll allow it. And then you've got two other things coming out, one of which I know for a fact is a game, one of which should be a game, but the trailer is convincing me it's not a game, so I'm a bit confused. So the first one, so we said a more confusing one, is a thing called Silent Hill Ascension, and the trailer for this is very weird. It's about a minute long, and it seems to show almost like a Twitch chat, like talking.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, I hear it," and there's some guy is like, "Oh, is it after?" This person, and then someone goes like, "Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit!" And then you get kind of static and stuff like that, and you get more of this kind of talking, and then you get a very strange looking creature that has, like, I don't know, weird head and like weird kind of arms and stuff like that, and it's kind of standing there, sort of looking menacingly, and then you've got this kind of smoke and static, and you've got this kind of live thing in the corner as well, so it looks like a recording or like a live TV show or something like that.
Yeah,
And the description in the thing is that Silent Hill Ascension introduces a new interactive video streaming experience for the series. So I don't know what that means, because if you look at it at the end, like when it shows off kind of people involved with this, one of the people involved with this is Behavior, who are obviously very famous for doing Dead by Daylight, right?
Right.
That's their main game, Dead by Daylight, and a few other studios as well. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like a series, like a streaming thing, if it's like a game. I'm very confused. I don't understand.
Words like enigmatic, I feel, were made for series like Silent Hill.
Mm.
They are going to keep you guessing right up to the last minute, man. Like,
because I don't know if this is a game. Is this like a Telltale game kind of thing for Silent Hill? You know what I mean? Like, is it that kind of game? So like it's not a TV show, but it is a game, but it's like interactive storytelling.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to think with games like the Dark Anthology, what's it called? You know,
the Dark Pictures Anthology.
Right? Like those kind of games.
Yeah, that kind of game. That's what I'm thinking of. Right? Yeah, is this like a Silent Hill version of that game? That kind of game.
You know, I can't say that it wouldn't work. Because
no, definitely not. Yeah,
I think it would.
I think it would work really, really well. Yeah, it would really, really well. So if it's that, I'm interested. Behavior, obviously, I've done really good work with Dead by Daylight. For as buggy as it is sometimes, it is a very well-made game at the end of the day, and they've really put a lot of effort and love into Dead by Daylight, so they're a good team, I think, to pick. I know, rather funnily, the top comment on the video is the most terrifying thing about this Silent Hill game is Behavior's involvement in it, which makes me laugh quite a lot. People are like, "Oh, what are they for? Dead by Daylight?" And everyone's like, "Oh, yeah." So people are digging them a little bit for that. Some guys, again, like, if you've ever met someone who plays DPD, they could tell you all about this.
They are also sort of a logical choice, though. You think if they've already got Silent Hill content within their game.
They do.
They are probably better equipped than other developers to approach the IP question mark.
Yes, I think so as well. But like I said, it's so hard to even think what, even like comprehend what this is, because I just don't get what it is. Like, I don't know if it's a game. I don't know if it's a fucking series. Is it like a web streaming series? Like some weird ass YouTube thing that's going on? Is it going to be a fucking Netflix show? Like, I don't know what this is. So I'm a bit confused. Is it going to be a co-op game? Could be a co-op game potentially, because it seems like to have some kind of Twitch interaction with it or some kind of thing like that, because there's a bit like at the start, obviously, where it's got that weird simulated Twitch chat that are like talking to each other. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be its own game that's going to be really heavy on Twitch integrations, because obviously a lot of games nowadays are now leveraging Twitch integrations, you know?
Yeah, I know about as much as you do, my friend, and I don't know. I can't really call it one way or another.
No, it's a very strange one. So there's that, and the final announcement was for a game called Silent Hill Townfall, and this one I think is very interesting looking. So this is also a very short trailer again. Doesn't really show off a lot, does it, Zach?
No, mostly just waves and a some kind of communication device with a small screen on it.
Little old retro pocket TV thing going on.
It almost looks like a Game Boy, but it's got like an antenna on it.
Yeah, so I think it's like a little pocket TV, like a proper old school, like a pocket little small pocket TV tuner thing.
Yeah, I think this one, in all realism, has the most likelihood to relate to the rumours of a British Silent Hill.
Mm.
This is the one that will probably relate to it the most, if at all, right?
Yeah, so I think that rumour potentially has spawned from this game, but also No Code, who are a studio behind this game as well. They are a Scottish studio too. So they are based in, I think, Glasgow. So some of the rumours might have come from that as well. That it's a British Silent Hill. No, it's actually the team is in, you know, England, the UK. So it's like, that could be where the rumours have come from. No Code, I actually really like their stuff quite a lot. If you've never played any of their games before, they did a game called Stories Untold, which is how they kind of made their fame. And that's a very interesting, almost like a Twilight Zone horror game, really, where you play through like four very different horror games. Kind of, you know, in one.
Yeah, rings a bell.
Yeah,
rings a bell.
Yeah, like there was a boom a long time ago where like a lot of like YouTubers played it. So to start, the first one is called like The House Untold or something like that, and it's about like a haunted house, but you interact with it via a computer that you're sat in a room typing on.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, like I just googled it.
Yes. You see what it is?
Yeah.
So Untold. Yeah.
Was this? Was there one in the Arctic? As
yes.
Well?
Yeah. That's part of the game as well.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Where you're in like a research base basically, and you're trying to it's almost like a point and click game at that point. And that one, you're trying to like unravel this like puzzle box and communicate to this potential alien. And it's like that basically. They did another game called Observer, which I haven't played actually. Observer, and that game is actually really interesting. That's, you're playing as like an AI in that game, and you're watching a space station. You're watching over a space station. And like things start getting a little bit dodgy, a little bit hairy, you know, a little bit like a Space Odyssey almost.
Yes. Yeah.
That kind of vibe to it. But you're playing as the AI robot. So they're really interesting games. They're not like the most, you know, crazy out there action games, but they were really interesting. Like I said, Stories Untold, I think, is a really real sleeper hit, and it did super well. Like, they won BAFTAs and everything from that game. Very interesting horror game, an interesting approach to horror games. So the games they craft aren't exactly the big, you know, actiony horror games. They're very
big on atmosphere, right?
Very atmospheric, so, very methodical, very controlled, which I think is quite a good look for Silent Hill, which has never been an action horror game ever, right? You know, I have to explain this to people quite a few times. I feel like when, you know, people are like, oh man, it's just not actiony enough, and it's like it's never meant to be actiony, you know what I mean? It's not the horror they do, you know. They do action horror. They do like puzzly, weird, creepy horror.
They do. And so Silent Hill has always allowed the player just enough combat to have the hope of oh, I might be able to fight this off, not enough for you to be able to conquer everything with ease.
Because combat is always clunky, isn't it? It always feels like dog shit, right? right? Regardless what game it is, the combat always feels like crap. But that's also, I think, because, right, it simulates the characters that are in the game, because there's no Chris Redfields here, is there, in Silent Hill?
There's no special forces training here.
There's no stars.
They're just regular people. Yeah.
They're just people who have ended up in very, very fucking bad situations, right? There's no muscles. There's no Chris the Muscle Redfield here, is there?
No boulder punching assholes here.
No boulder punching here, man. So it's always been, you know, never the action-y game. So I feel like this kind of studio taking on this is actually really interesting.
It's a good fit.
And I actually think they're not just doing this alone. They're doing this with another company called Annapurna, I don't know how to pronounce it. Apologies, Interactive. And they're the guys behind Stray that came out recently with a cat game.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So they're also teaming up together to do this. So that's really interesting. Both of the studios are known for making very kind of art heavy, very creative kind of atmospheric games. So I think it's a very interesting procedure, isn't it? To get these two guys together to make a Silent Hill game.
Yeah. I'm very keen to see what the future holds. I think this is overall, it's fucking great news though, isn't it?
It's incredible news, yeah. Because obviously with this one, once again, it's a very ambiguous trailer. The only real thing of like actual full substance that Konami has given us is the Silent Hill 2 trailer, obviously. We know a lot about that because we know Silent Hill 2. We know everything about that. Everything else is very hidden and very, very mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and they've played it that way because everybody knows what Silent Hill 2 is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And those that don't can be caught up with it rather quickly.
Exactly. And then here is, you know, a selection of fine other goods to potentially get lost in as well, which, I mean, I'm all for. Like I said at the start, we've gone from nothing to everything in the space of a few days.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's genuinely so incredible. Exciting. And before we sign off, quick little extra newsreel update. This is fresh breaking news, by the way. Callisto Protocol, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it. Amazing game.
Very much so.
Everyone's going to be able to enjoy it, unless you live in Japan.
Oh, okay.
You ask why, I hear. Well, it failed the ratings board in Japan.
Too gory, right?
Too gory. Too much violence. Apparently, the developers said that they weren't willing to make the censorship requests that they were asking of them. It would jeopardize the appeal and kind of the direction of the game they want to go with it.
it's going to be gory,
which is very good because they're standing up. But also, I feel like you got to be pretty fucked up to not get a rating in Japan, right?
Yeah,
like because there's some fucking stuff that's allowed in Japan, which is pretty out there. Horror films as well included, not just video games. Quite out there stuff. So I'm very impressed to see that it's failed to get a rating, you know, because that means Australia's fucked completely. It's not going to Australia. Like, if you're Australian, you're not playing this game. And if it's past the Australian board of standards, yeah, then there must be a problem. There's an error or something that's happened here. Because there's no way is this game like in Australia if it's not in Japan. Don't buy that immediately. I don't understand.
That's a bit of a strange one, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, so I don't know what the future's going to hold for that. I don't know if we're going to see a censored version, if they're going to, you know, just take the L and censor it, do like a Valve did for Left 4 Dead 2, obviously, in Australia.
They're more like guidelines.
Yeah, or, you know, make some tactical adjustments. I don't know. I really hope they do, because it would suck. Obviously, if you live in Japan, you can't get hold of this game. Or if you have to play, play like a very neutered version of the game. But in all fairness, we've seen from the trailers, right? It's looking pretty gory.
Yeah.
Like people getting sucked into vents and shit. Dead Space 1 level kind of gore.
I actually think this is gonna go a step further. There's something about this that seems very, very unsettling.
I think there is as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I can't describe it. Obviously, the visuals help because the visuals look stunning for this game. It looks so violent and creepy. Like, I saw a screenshot today because they had attached some screenshots, obviously, to the announcement this Gameslight did. And the monsters look so creepy in this Callisto Protocol, dude.
We ain't got long to go now.
No, December time.
Or so.
The release schedules, my man, are actually hotting up quite a lot. We're coming to the end of October. We've got November coming up next month, which means Darktide finally. Yeah.
Oh, that's
fucking
great.
Oh, yes, mate. We're going to get on that, dude. We're going to play the fuck out of Darktide. 100%, man. 100%. Can't wait for that. So we've got Darkseid coming.
Get two other people together so we can do an Ogryn quad squad.
The Ogryn quad, the quad train.
that will be mucho gusto.
So we got that, and in December we got Callisto Protocol, and in January we got Dead Space. So look at that. Fucking next few months, mate. Sorted for content. And not just that, it's sort of for horror content as well.
Mate, the feast begins.
The feast does begin. And thank you ever so much, everyone, for listening to us ramble about this. We were a little bit slow with the uptick on this news, but, you know, we're here to deliver it just as much because we love it. We love the series. We love Resident Evil. We love Silent Hill. And we had to have a chat about these announcements.
Yeah, and we hope that you're as excited as we are, because you're not going to hear the end of it.
The excitement comes out. You're not going to hear the end of it. We're going to get the games. We're going to play the games. We're going to talk about the games. Resident Evil 4, the remake, that's definitely going to get covered. Silent Hill 2 remake, that's definitely going to get covered when it comes out. When it comes out, we're going to talk about it all. We're going to talk about it all once we play them.
We'll do it all.
Doing it all. We're doing it all. We're doing it live.
Thank you ever so much, everybody. I hope you have a pleasant evening or morning if you're listening to us first thing. Take care.
Thank you ever so much, people. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.